Father, thank you, Lord, once again for our fellowship together today. And truly, our fellowship is with the Lord and also with one another through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even as, Lord, we have prepared our hearts to receive your word today, let us receive that light and that understanding and open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is part 7 of Engaging the Word of the Lord in the Spirit. And we have been talking and through and reading Psalm 119, and I'm going to finish the reading of it today by the grace of God. But our key and foundational scripture for this lesson and the series is taken from John chapter 6 and verse 63, a declaration that Jesus made talking to the crowds and so forth. He said, well, you know, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, glory to God. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, so right away we see from what Jesus is saying that, you know, the flesh profits nothing. In this flesh is really no good thing that will profit us spiritually. Therefore, we must crucify the flesh daily. We can't walk in the flesh. They that are in the flesh, we're told, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when we are in the flesh, we can't please God. When we listen to the word of God, when we engage it in the flesh, it's not going to profit us. When you hear it or you read it on your own, in the flesh, it's not going to profit us. We got to connect with the word of the Lord in the spirit. That's where the blessings will come from. And we've talked about what it means to connect with the word of the Lord and to engage in the spirit yesterday. After the reading of the word, we also towards the end talked about the various ways that we can use the word of God for the situations that we may face. You know, that's part of how we connect with that word in the spirit. The word of God is given to us according to 2 Timothy 3:16. It is profitable for many things. And, you know, whether you are looking for instruction in righteousness, it is there. Whether you are looking for inspiration, it's even there. Whether you are looking for doctrine, it's there. Whether you are looking for reproof, it's there. Correction, it's there. You know, exhortation and comfort, it's all there. It's all in the Word of God. In fact, it is beautiful for every situation. So we've seen how David rejoiced at the word of the Lord. How, you know, no matter what he's going through, you know, whether afflictions, whether his enemies, he always said, well, but I rejoice in thy statutes. I go back to thy testimonies, you know, and he always rejoiced. And he loved the word of God. The word of God was a rejoicing to his heart. And so we are looking for the grace of God in our lives for us to have the same, you know, posture and the reaction to the word of God to make us to rejoice when we hear it, you know. Cause me, Lord, to hear joy from the word of the Lord. When I hear the word of the Lord, something stirs up in my heart. I rejoice to hear it. Jesus spoke to the crowds, the Jews, and said, ye cannot hear my word. You don't even understand my speech. Why is that? I said, well, because you are not of God. If you are of God, he said, well, then you will hear my word. And but now today in this series, we're talking about not just hearing it, but engaging it in the word of God. As Jesus said in the parable of the sower, that if you do not engage it in the spirit when you hear the word, well, you will receive no understanding, and the devil is going to come and pluck it out of your heart. So it is important for us, you know, to engage the word of the Lord in the spirit so we can have understanding. When a person hears the word of the kingdom and they have no understanding, well, then the enemy will come and pluck it out of their heart. You know, so that's like a paradox, you know. You cannot get understanding except by this word. And if you hear this word and you don't have understanding, then you will get nothing. You know, so it is our prayer that the Lord will reveal it to us when we hear the word of God, what he wants us to know. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Furthermore, Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of glory, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. For so it seemeth good in your eyes to do. And so if by the grace of God we receive revelation of the word of God, then we know it came from God, and we ought to be thankful. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we are told that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. However, he said, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And now to be able to get the deep things of God, when you hear the word of God, you got to be in the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that can search it out, those deep things. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And he's the only one that can reveal those things to us. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, if you don't connect in the Spirit, you won't know these things. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's when we connect in the flesh, receiveth not the things of the Spirit, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, when we are listening to the word of God, reading it in the word of God, or however, you know, we are, you know, hearing it, if we're doing it in the flesh, in other words, as a natural man, said, well, we cannot understand it, because the natural man cannot comprehend the things of God. And we cannot even receive the things of God, because of the foolishness to the natural mind. And we can't know those things when we are in the flesh, because the things of God must be spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. So, the mind of Christ, though, he said, look, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's a summary. The mind of Christ. We know the Lord no longer, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. We no longer know him in the flesh like that. We're now connecting with him in the spirit so that we can get the deep things of God. Got to do it in the spirit. And it starts by a love for God's word, a rejoicing in the things of God through knowledge of him by his word. Who will the Lord have respect towards? That's the question. The Lord said in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2 that, look, I have created all these things. All of these things are mine. The heaven, my throne, the earth, my footstool, and everything else I have created. So what are you going to give me? What house will you build me, and where is the place of my rest? Can you build God a house, seeing that the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands? You know, what is it that we're going to really give him? Cattle on 1,000 hills is his, the whole, owns the whole world. But he wants that contrition. He said in our hearts, said, this is the man though, to whom I will look. Hallelujah. This is the one that's going to get God's attention. He that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word, takes my word as it is indeed the word of God and not the word of man. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, and verse 13 says, you know, when you receive the word of God, you must receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh effectually in you. You put your faith in that word. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to the reading of the word as given to us in Psalms 119, David's testimony he wrote in the spirit concerning the word of God. Very, very long chapter, 176 verses, and every other verse or so, he comes around and talks of, you know, the impact that the word of God makes, you know, for his life. And we're going to try to finish, you know, the reading today. Praise the Lord. So, I want to call out one or two things about how this man always talked about the word of God. He always said, quicken me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy judgments. He said these things that I will not forget thy law. For instance, consider my affliction, he said, in verse 153, and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. But great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Remember, it is the spirit that quickeneth. And this man, he knows the connection. Quickening there means give me life and understanding. And then he said, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they have not kept thy word. We spoke about that yesterday. Consider, Lord, how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. I mean, you can just see how many times he's talking about quicken me, you know, quicken me, energize me, you know, cause me to become passionate about the things of God. Let the zeal of the word of the Lord consume my heart. He's always talking about that. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll go on to verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. As we said over and over and over again yesterday, no matter what he's going through, he always goes back to finding solace in the word of God. I rejoice. I love this verse. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I mean, it's like you come into a lot of treasure. You win an inheritance, you know, and so forth. I mean, this guy said to me, hearing your word is like that. You know, it's like I won some big fat treasure or something. I found something. Finite grace spoil. You know, that's how he reacts to the word of God. It's the rejoicing of his heart. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day will I praise thee. Glory to God, because of thy righteous judgments. Now, this praising the Lord 7 times a day, how did he do it? Did he just say, praise the Lord? And then come back again and say, praise the Lord. Come back again, you know, 7 times and say, praise the Lord. No, he spent time. It wasn't just, you know, saying the words, praise the Lord. He spent time praising the Lord. That's why he wrote all these, you know, many of these Psalms. In praising the Lord. And he says 7 times a day, you know, he'll do it, you know, and then come back and do it again. And then go a little more longer and then come back and do it again. I mean, 7 times a day, he said, I will praise the Lord because of thy righteous judgments. And every time the Lord dealt with him, he loved the Lord even more for it. In fact, one time he said, Lord, let me fall into the hands of the Lord rather into the hands of any man. You know, because I know the Lord is plentiful in mercy and he will not always chide. He will forget. I mean, he will forgive and he will correct in love. And, you know, he said, look, I know I did these things and I deserve them. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And he said, look, you know, but now I've kept thy word, that I may not sin against thee, you know, praise the Lord. Great peace have they which love thy law or the word of the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. Praise God. You know, when you know the word of God, and when the word of God is embedded as a, you know, an inseparable part of your life, well, this is the benefit, and this is the effect that we will see. He said, great peace have they them that love the law of the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. Yeah, it doesn't matter what anybody is doing. Nothing shall offend them. You know, blessed is he that is not offended in me. You know, never. Nothing offends them. Sometimes people even get offended not only by the things that people do to them, but even if the Lord doesn't come through for them, they get offended, you know. There was a time, there was a story of a man called John the Baptist, that he came and was talking about, you know, the mission of the Christ, introduced Christ as the Lamb that take away the sins of the whole world and all of that. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to even untie, he said. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed me, he said, that the one on whom I see the Spirit coming like a dove, that's he. And he pointed everybody to Christ. He even said, look, I must decrease that he must increase, and so on and so forth. But then one day when he was cast into prison, this same John that said all these glowing things about Christ, one day when he was cast into prison, he beckoned on a couple of disciples, say, go check out this man and ask him, are you the one that we are waiting for, or should we look for another? Why would you be saying that? You were the one already introducing him to the whole world. You were the one that said all these beautiful things to him, the whole world. But that's how the mind functions. Now, John is sitting in prison. Jesus doesn't come to look him up. Remember, Jesus is his cousin, or second cousin to be exact. Mary and Elizabeth, their mothers, were cousins. So they themselves were cousins or second cousins. And John is in prison. I mean, he's the one that knew who the Messiah was. Nobody else knew until he introduced him, the Lamb, that to take away the sins of the world. And now he's in prison because he come out hard against somebody. It is not lawful for you to take thy brother's wife. Yeah, come out lawful against Herod and all of that. And they put him in prison. And now he's wondering, wow, I'm sitting in prison. Jesus doesn't come to see me or come to bail me out. You know, maybe there's some offense that's settling in. How do we know that? Because when the people that John sent to Jesus came to him, he said, well, John said that we should ask you, are you he that we are expecting, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what. You know, go back to John and tell him, you know, what you see of me. And John knows the scriptures. He can correlate. Well, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the gospel is preached to the poor, and all these things. And Jesus, you know, just threw it out. But he also dropped this word that is so impactful. He said, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. Wow. You know, what does that mean? Well, perhaps Jesus, you know, sensed that thing in John. And so let's read that story, because we're talking about nothing shall offend them. Let's read this story. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, we read from verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ that he was doing, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? And Jesus answered unto them that were sent, go and show John again those things that you do here, and see how that the blind receive their sight, how that the lame walk, how the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And let John figure it out, you know, whether my works declare who I am. And then he dropped this and said, I'm blessed is he. Now, this blessed is he part is not part of what Jesus was quoting, you know, out of the book of Isaiah. You know, when he went into the synagogue, he took the temple, I mean, he took the book in that place and found the place where it was written of him after he came from the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That chapter that we now call Isaiah 61, and he read it. There's nothing there about blessed is he that is not offended. And he's quoting the same thing here, but he drops this one. Blessed is he, and blessed is he who is not offended in him. Oh, but why? Well, you know, sometimes the Lord may not meet our expectation the way we expect it. I mean, John is sitting in prison now. Jesus has not even visited him. Jesus has not come there to, you know, bust him out of that prison. You know, Jesus can do all of that, but Jesus hasn't done it. He's wondering, well, are you the one? Well, of course, you know. You know he's the one. You're the one that pointed out to everybody that he was the one. Why are you asking that now? So the Lord said, well, blessed is he that's not offended in him. But look at how gracious Jesus is. Let me bring this side story in. That's why the fact that the Lord brought that out. Look at what he said, you know, unto the people. That glowing testimony that he gave about John. That's so powerful, you know. You know, so, and when there were people were leaving and going back to give an answer to John, he turned to the multitude and he said, you know, as those two that were sent left, he turned to the multitude and said, look, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Well, behold, they that wearing soft clothing in king's palaces. But what went you out for to see? He's talking about John now. A prophet? And he said, yeah. And more I say unto you, more than a prophet. Look at Jesus' testimony about John. Can we do that? Can you speak so highly of someone that even doubts you or doubts your ministry? Can you do it? Jesus, the perfect Son of God. He's giving a glowing testimony to John here, despite whatever John was doing or not doing. He said, look, who did you go out to see concerning this man, John? Yeah. You think that he was just somebody out there in the wilderness that had no mission? He said, look, you think even that he was a prophet. Some of you know, you think of him as a prophet, but I tell you, yeah, you're right. As a prophet, but more than a prophet. For this is he that was spoken of, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. And Jesus going back to Isaiah now 40 again and quoting that this John is the one that was written who will be the forerunner of the Christ. And he said, verily I say unto you, concerning this John, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And look at what Jesus was saying. How glowing a testimony he gives of John. He said, look, but he drops a word. See, this is how great, how great God thinks of you. He said, look, there's nobody, up to that point in time. I mean, we've seen some tremendous people that were born of women. Moses was born of women. Elijah was born of women. Enoch, every one of them, they were born of women. But Jesus said at this point, nobody born of women been greater than John. They could have been equal. Jesus didn't say they could not have been equal, but they were not greater. But he said, I'll tell you something though. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. That's it right there. So according to Jesus, there is a transition now into the things of the kingdom. Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus made this declaration. The law and the prophets, they were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God is now preached and everyone pressed into it. Now, so all this stuff that happened up until John, Jesus summarized them as the law and the prophets. And so John right here is the bridge. He has one leg in the law and the prophets because he himself was a prophet, Jesus said, and greater than a prophet. And he has one leg in the kingdom because he's the first one to start to introduce the kingdom of God. Repent, he said, for the kingdom of God is near. Sad to say. And so Jesus said, look, in the kingdom though, everyone that is coming truly into this kingdom now is greater than John. John greater than all of them. But those in the kingdom are greater than John. Now that's the value that God places on you. Praise God. And Paul said, look, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If God thinks of you like that, don't think any less of yourself. It's not pride for you to think of yourself the way God thinks of you. But we think with humility. Jesus said, look, if I say I don't know God, then I become a liar like you. Because you say you know him, but you don't. If I know him and I say I don't, then I become a liar. So look, I came down from heaven. Now, you guys are from beneath, but I am from above. Was Jesus being proud? No, he was just saying it the way it was. So when we say what God says about us, that's not pride. It is God that said it. I didn't say it, that, if I'm in the kingdom now, then I'm greater, than all the people that were ahead of us before the kingdom came. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Because he says it, well, I'm not going to think of myself any less. that what Jesus said. You know, but we do it in humility. We say it is the grace of God in him. When Paul was testifying and said, look, I was one born out of season, you know, because I persecuted the church, you know, but nevertheless, the grace of God in me caused me to walk even harder than everybody else. But it was the grace of God. And I don't frustrate that grace. I don't take it lightly. In fact, I magnify my office. Glory to God. Praise God. You know, so we see the value of, you know, how God thinks of us, what the Lord thinks of you. But coming back to our lesson, nothing shall offend you when you connect with the Word of God. That's a powerful, powerful lesson. You know, nothing shall offend you. Doesn't matter what anybody is doing. One time Jesus said, nothing shall hurt you. That's physically. But even nothing will hurt you emotionally. That's offending you. You know, you will not be offended. Offenses must needs come, but blessed is the man who's not offended in me. You know, nothing anybody can do. Settle that. Always go back to the Word of God. Praise God. Well, part of what the Word of God says is, look, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Everyone that gathers together against you shall fall for thy sake. Again, the scripture says, look, all nations come pass me around, you know, but in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them all, and the Lord will fight for you. I mean, all these things are in the scriptures. So why should you worry about what people are doing? Glory to God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord is on your side. As Sammy said in Psalm 27, the Lord is on my side. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies come against me to try to eat up my flesh, they stumble and they fell. You know, they can't hurt you and nothing shall hurt you. You know, when you love the word of the Lord and you engage it in the spirit, he said, well, they shall not be offended by anything. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at them, what their enemies say, what people say against them. It's not going to matter. They will not be offended. Ha! Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I love that. Nothing shall offend them. Let's pick up the reading. Let's continue the reading. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's one of the verses that I will highlight later on. Nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped in thy salvation. We are now in verse 166. And I have done thy commandments. My soul has kept thy testimonies. And I love them exceedingly. Well, can you say that? I pray that that will be, you know, our declaration and our testimony also, that we love the word of the Lord exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. All my ways are before thee. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, Lord, you know, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. And give me understanding according to thy word. And this is how we started. In that understanding is so key. Because Jesus said, if you hear the word, you have no understanding, you will lose even what you heard. You know, so give me understanding, Lord, according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue also shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thy hand help me, O Lord, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Blessed is the man, you know, that delighted, you know, greatly to do his commandments. What did he say about such a man? You know, what are the blessings that will come to somebody that delights to do the commandment of the Lord. Let's read it in Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He just said it in Psalm 19. I delight in thy commandments. Well, blessed is the man that delighteth greatly in his commandments. What are some of his blessings? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. If you delight in the word of the Lord, there is a blessing that goes not only to you, but even beyond you to your seed after you. That's it. Even your seed shall be mighty upon the earth because you delight greatly in his, in the Lord's commandments. That's right. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Not just the upright himself, but his generation after him shall be blessed. Because of the uprightness of his heart. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about these kind of generational blessings that come from God to you and then to your seed after you because of the integrity of your heart. Your children are blessed because you love the Lord. It's automatic. And praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't make them automatically saved. You got to teach them the salvation of the Lord. You got to teach them their own responsibility. But this grace passes unto them anyway, just because they are the godly seed. It will pass unto them. Now, for them to retain it, that's a different story. They have to retain the blessings of the Lord that came automatically to them by they themselves walking in the integrity of their heart before the Lord. But it will automatically pass unto them. We saw how God's blessings that came upon Abraham automatically came upon Isaac. And even God added some on top of it. Same blessing automatically came upon Jacob. On and on and on. I mean, come upon David, from David to Solomon, and on to Christ, you know, and then to you. All these blessings are there. Your seed are holy already because of your righteousness. Now, they must stand in the way of the Lord, though, and we must teach them to keep the way of the Lord. But because of the integrity of your heart, in fearing the Lord and delighting greatly in his commandments, your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Your generation shall also be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in the house of him that delighted greatly to in the word of the Lord. These are the blessings. God said it. I didn't say, I don't need to pursue the wealth and riches. They will come to me. What I need to pursue is God's righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be added to you, come to you. I don't have to seek them. They will come after you in chains and in dromedaries. The Lord will bring them the merchandise of Egypt, men of Sabians, you know, the labor of the Egypt, merchandise of Ethiopia. All these things will come unto you because you love the Lord. The Lord will bring you wealth and riches, his righteousness. The man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments, the righteousness of that man will endure forever. It means passes on to his generation. Glory to God. Unto the right, upright, there ariseth light in darkness. These are all the blessings that come from delighting greatly in the commandments of the Lord to do them. By also trembling at his word, that attracts the favor of God. This is the man to whom I will look, he that is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Praise the Lord. You know, and he said, look, my tongue shall speak of thy word. All thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, O Lord, for I have chosen thy precept. I have longed thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live shall praise thee. And all thy judgments, let all your judgments help me. You know, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servants, for I do not forget thy commandments. This is a reading of the word of the Lord. You know, we've read through now all 176 verses of this long psalm. And the key concept and the key theme throughout it all is how we value the word of God. What value do we place on it? And how do we engage the word of God? Do we engage it with joy? Do we engage it with gladness? Is there a passion in our hearts concerning the word of God? I mean, do we seek and choose the word of God above all else? Does the word of God create a higher joy in our hearts than even silver and gold? These are all the things that the psalmist spoke and wrote about in this psalm. You know, let us pray that we will choose the Lord's word, the Lord and his word, and make him our chief joy above all else. And there is a tremendous fountain of blessing. It just keeps coming to those that do that. Jesus talked about those blessings. We have talked about it multiple times in these lessons, how that he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:21. And because you are keeping my commandments and you delight greatly to do them, I myself will delight in coming to you. I will delight in manifesting myself to you. Not the whole world gets that, you know, benefit of Jesus manifesting himself to them. Because one of the disciples asked him, well, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us? I mean, he's putting himself in the category of those that love the Lord and keep his commandments, right? How is it that you will manifest yourself to us, John 14:22, and not to the whole world? Well, Jesus said, well, it's because the whole world don't love me like that. you know, but they that loves me, they keep my word. And because they do, you know, there is a reciprocal kind of love that they will enjoy from me. You know, I will also come to them. Now, I've talked about this before, and I want to say it again here. You know, whereas the scripture says there is no respect of persons from God, well, that doesn't mean that God cannot favor some people. That respect means that he uses the same measure. You know, if he has law and commandment this way and that way, you know, if you break it, yeah, well, you know, repercussions come on everybody, the same measure, you know, so it's not a respect of person say, oh, you know, this one, you know, well, I will do this because he didn't do, no, it's the same. However, the favor of God is preferential, you know, is preferential to those that love him. You know, Romans 8:28 says, all things, we know, Paul said, that all things work together for good to them that love God, not to them that God loves. God loves everybody. But that scripture is not for God. I mean, it's not for those that God loves. It's for those that love God. That's a big difference. God loves everybody. Ah, for God so loved the whole world, John 3:16. Jesus said this himself. You know, when he was talking to Nicodemus, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son to the whole world. You know, that whosoever believes in him do not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that's God's love for the whole world. And that's God's gift to the whole world. It's Jesus Christ. God already gave the world Jesus Christ. But For instance, he doesn't give the Holy Ghost to the world. You know, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, even the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, well, then he shall testify of me, he shall teach you all these things. So, the Spirit of God is not given to the world. Now, whereas Jesus is the gift to the world, Holy Spirit is the gift to the church. So you can see that even God makes a difference there. Gives Jesus to the world, but the church not only get Jesus, but they get the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You know, so we begin to see that preferential and also the guarantee that all things will work together, you know, is only to those that love the Lord, not those who God loves. You know, big difference. Those who love God, there's a guarantee that the good, the bad, the ugly, the mistakes, the regrets, whatever, they will all eventually work together for your good because you love the Lord. So that's a preferential treatment. Here's another one that is so powerful. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will love you, and my Father will love you too, and we will come and manifest and make our abode to such a person. Well, that's preferential. It's based on if a man loves me, he will keep my words. John 14 and 23. So we see that this is preferential. It's not for everybody. You know, those that really love the Lord, not those who God loves. God loves everybody. So God loves everybody, but his favor is not like that to everybody. His favor, this preferential favor, is for those that delight greatly in doing the word of the Lord. They love the Lord. They keep his commandments. And the Lord said, I'm coming after you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to make my abode with you. Now, he didn't promise that to everybody, you know, but he promised for those who love him and keep his commandments like that. And I will pray the Father for such, and he will give you another comforter that he may be with you, you know, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So we begin to see all the things, you know, that even God said, these things are hidden from some, but given to others. That's again preferential treatment. You know, God, he can hide things from whomsoever he wants. And who are you to say, what doest thou? You know, you can't do it. God is God, and he can choose to do and undo. And to the glory of God, to our benefit, he has chosen us to be those that will receive not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the presence of God, because we love the Lord and keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. Now, the things that we are speaking about here of engaging, you know, the word of the Lord in the Spirit. Well, nobody can really do that except they love the Lord and they love his word. When you love the Lord and you love his word, you will take time to figure out what it is that he's saying. But those that don't, they will try to engage in the flesh, you know, the natural mind, but they cannot get the things of God that way. You know, the only way to understand the things of God is for us to engage in the Spirit. And if you put together all the things you have heard in these lessons, you know, then you will know that engaging in the Spirit is more than just listening to it or just reading it. You read it casually. Most people read the Word of God casually. And, you know, and then they get casual. So, he that soweth sparingly will reap also sparingly. You know, invest casual time with the Word of God, well, you get casual understanding, or maybe nothing at all. But if you want to dig deep, when you dig deep, well, the Lord will open up the treasures of heaven unto you. Now, the things of God that are in these scriptures, even though God has commanded us to search diligently for these things, well, we still cannot get them only by human learning. You know, we must receive them by revelation. Revelation. That's how it comes to us. In the book of John 14 and verse 17, Jesus is talking about the Spirit of truth. He is the one that's going to bring all these things to you. But he says, well, the world cannot receive him, but you can receive him. You know, because at that time he said he was dwelling with them, but he would later be in them. Well, now we have the Holy Spirit in us by the grace of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's now inside of us and we are in him, you know. And so union with the Lord. And the best way for us to get into that union is through the Word of God. The Word of God was made flesh. And it dwelt among us. You know, something became unionized with the Spirit of God. This human flesh, born as a baby, became unionized with the Spirit of God, and he was connected. And he could later declare that I and my Father are one, John 10 and 30. Well, the same way, we who are receiving the Word of God today, you know, if we receive it and we appropriate it properly into our lives, we also can grow into the same framework and become like the Christ. This was what God intended from the beginning. You know, for whom he did foreknow, Romans 8 and 29, he also did predestinate that they will be conformed to the image of his Son. That's it. That was in God's mind from the beginning. Your end state, my end state, our end state, whom he foreknew, will be like the Christ, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, but not the only one, but only the first. Jesus himself said, I don't want to be the only one. John chapter 12, verse 24, said, the corn of wheat, except it fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. I was talking about himself, you know. But when it falls in the ground and dies, then it brings forth many more like itself. So now Jesus is bringing many sons to glory. Are you one of them? Glory to God. You know, the invitation goes out today that you can be one of these people to whom, I mean, God will look because you delight yourself in the Word of God. You know, make a pledge today, you know, to say, and just saying, look, I received Jesus as my personal Savior is not enough. If you receive Jesus as your personal Savior and you don't tremble at his word, or you don't even care for the Word of God, you allow the, you know, the cares of this life to choke the word out, then you don't receive the blessing of, you know, that Jesus said. He laid it out. Some of them, they actually received the Word of God at the beginning, right? But they had no root in themselves. They didn't even spend time to dig deep. Well, they are superficial. They are on the surface level only. Eventually, when the sun rises up, they are scorched. These are the seed that fell upon stony ground. And then there was some seed that fell upon thorns, you know. Well, they themselves also received the word initially, but, you know, because of the you know, chasing whatever they are chasing, the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, chasing, you know, the American dream or whatever, you know, all these things eventually choke the word out of them. But there was yet another set of the seed that fell on prepared ground. Good ground means it was prepared. You know, it has broken up that fallow ground, you know, Hosea 10 and 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. You know, that these things, they've gone through that, they prepare their hearts, you know, and now they receive the word of God and it brings forth many blessings, you know, unto them. These blessings that we have been talking about today. Now, there is a caution that the Lord gives us, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3 also about, you know, breaking up our fallow ground. You know, this is, you know, when you, this is how you deal with the word of God. I'm summarizing these things now. In Jeremiah chapter 4, we read the following. Praise the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 4 and verse 3, to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. That's why you have to prepare your heart. Before the planting season, the farmer must break up that fallow ground, must prepare the ground. Can't just go and sow on ground that is parched and dry and, you know, overtaken by weeds. No. You have to break it up, prepare the ground. Sometimes they put fertilizer and everything. Make sure the ground is ready before they sow. And do not sow among thorns. And that's a great warning. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Well, while we are trying to break up our fallow ground, make sure that you don't allow thorns to grow there as well. Take away those distractions. You know, in this psalm, as we were reading, David said, look, I put away unrighteous men from me, from before me, because they are distractions. And focus on the word of God. These things that will distract us from the kingdom, let's put them away. Jesus said, look, even if it's your eye or your hand and so forth, pluck it out, cut it off. You know, all the things, you know, focus. You know, focus and focus. You circumcise yourselves in the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Not just, you know, circumcise your spirit. Now let us cleanse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, having therefore, dearly beloved, all these precious promises. Wow. We got to do something then. You know, you have to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. And there can be filthiness, not only in the, you know, in the human flesh. We know that one profits nothing. But there can be filthiness of the spirit as well. So we got to cleanse that spirit. Filthiness of the flesh, filthiness of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Let us tremble at his word today. Let us take that word to heart. Let us engage the word of the Lord, you know, in using it for our circumstances, you know. And let me remind you this, as we close today's lesson, there is a charge that God has given to the angels concerning you. That charge is not just to keep you in all your ways so that you don't dash your feet against any stone. We know that, but it's beyond that. There's a charge that he has given to his angels. We read about it in Psalm 103 verse 20, you know. Doesn't say it quite exactly like that, but it's a hidden revelation that's in that verse. The psalmist is talking about praising the Lord. And he says that even, the angels that excel in strength. Wow. You know, there's something that they rejoice in doing, you know. You know, they just rejoice in doing it. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, just like us, you know. Doing his commandments actually strengthens you with grace. You have grace to do it, and you do it, you get more grace. Because he that hath shall be given more. You know, it do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, the voice of his word can be the unction that they receive from the throne. The voice of his word can also be you giving voice to God's word. As it is written in the book of Psalm 68 and verse 11, you know, it says, look, the Lord gave the word, great is the company that published it. So you can be a publisher of the word. That means giving voice to that word. Now, when you give voice to that word, though, the commandment that God has given these angels that excel in strength is you be listening for that word out of their mouth. That's it. If you learn that secret, you will learn a great thing. Lord has given, there's certain angels that excel in strength. They are powerful. They are graced. God has given them the ability. They can fight. They can move on your behalf. They can do things. Are they not all called ministering spirits for your behalf? You know, in Hebrews chapter 1. So they can do these things. But God has given them charge. He said, look, when you hear my word out of their mouth, when they give voice to my word, then you see to it and make it happen. See, that's it. That's again how you engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. Now, you say, well, you know, yeah. And the Lord is showing it in the spirit. These angels may do nothing at times until you actually speak God's word. That's what moves them to action. You know, you might see them, and the Lord showed this to me in the spirit one time. I saw some of them were just bored. And I saw some of them, they were moving up and down fast. Boom, 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 like just like that. You know? And others were just standing around bored. And I said, what be these that stand around bored like this? Why? Why are the others moving, you know, like that so fast? Well, and he said, these ones that you see that are standing bored like this, well, that's because the ones that they were given charge over are not speaking my word. And so they are now have nothing to do. They're standing around, you know. But these other ones, those guys are speaking my word. And these ones, they rejoice at it. They hear it. They go and see to it. Now, when you speak the word of God over your situation, the angels that excel in strength, that God has already given charge, say, do my commandments when you hear my word. Yeah. So when you speak the word of the Lord out of your mouth, that's the only way you can make the angels do anything. You can't command angels. You try to command angels, they'll just tell you, I have my orders. That's it. They've received their order. You can't tell them what to do. Some people think they just command angels around. You can command the devils, you know, but not the goodly angels. They have their orders. The only way you command them is you speak God's word. When you speak God's word, they go into action. There was a story in Judges, you know, chapter 6. And we read, you know, an encounter between Joshua and an angel. Joshua didn't know it at the time. But, you know, later he figured it out. You know, and that's Gideon. I was talking about Joshua here, not the story of Gideon. Strike that one. The story of Joshua when he met, you know, the captain of the Lord's host, and the Lord, the man, you know, Joshua approached him and said, look, I am the, you know, he said, well, because he saw a sword in his hand. He said, well, how did you come? Are you come, you know, to, what did you come to do? Well, you know, we can read that in the book of Joshua, not Judges. Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, not Judges chapter 6 verse 13. Got that mixed up for a minute. In the book of Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, Joshua saw this man, you know, that was standing over against him somewhere with a sword in his hand. And yeah, if you have a sword in your hand, Joshua is ready to fight because he doesn't mess around. So, well, tell me, art thou come for us or for our enemies? I'm going to tell you right now, if you are for our enemies, let's fight. And the man, you'll be surprised his answer. Two questions or a two-part question that Joshua asked. You know, art thou for us or art thou for our enemies? Now, that's two parts to the question. But how did the angel answer to both parts of the question? He said, no. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's exactly how, you know, you can understand this. Yeah. Are you for us? Are you for our enemies? And the man said, no. No. No to both questions. That means, no. I'm not for you. I'm not for your enemies. But I am come to do the bidding. Basically, he's saying, I have my orders. Now, the orders I have may benefit you, but I have my orders. I have my orders. I have come as the captain of the lost souls. I'm not come to do this or that as you think, but I have come. I have my orders. I have come as a captain of the lost souls. Now, and there are orders. Some of the orders is see to it when you hear the voice of my word out of their mouth. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a summary of engaging the Lord's word in the spirit. And when you know how to use that word, you align yourself. God has given the word. You engage it, you publish it. Those angels, they will respond. Because that's a charge. God already gave them that charge. And they will see to it. And the Lord might say, and has he already even said, see how my daughter down there is declaring my word? Well, then you go see to it and make it happen. Praise the Lord. So as we declare the word of the Lord, God has dispatched his angels to see to it for those that know how to engage that word in the spirit. All the benefits that we have talked about will be yours, including the Lord's mighty angels carrying out that word on your behalf, because it's not really your word. It's God's word. You just gave voice to it. When they hear the voice of the Lord's word out of your mouth, they go into action and see to it. Now you can release that word over your situation. Like we said yesterday, you got to find the word that's appropriate for that situation and release it. Release that word of the Lord over your situation. And then sit back and praise the Lord and relax. God will see to it. The angels of the Lord will see to it, because the word of God forever settled in heaven. When you settle in your heart and you release the same over the situation upon the earth, that word will prevail. The word of God always prevails. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that we have heard and read today. I pray that our hearts will respond like David's heart responded to the word of the Lord. He said, I rejoiced greatly as thy word, as one that found great spoil. Ah, thy word was a rejoicing of my heart and my soul. May that be our testimony as well. And as we declare the word of God over every situation in our lives. We are assured that the Lord has given his angels charge already to see to it and make it happen, just like they are declaring. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this understanding of how to engage the word of God in the spirit. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.